thanks for coming back today. And just a little recap. Last week, you know, we're talking about the 10 leadership principles for Christians, for believers. And last week, we talked about the very first one. Anybody remember what it was? All right, keep the main thing, exactly. So very first principle when it comes to Christian leadership, the focus should be on God. That is number one. Hard stop. After that, you know, you can keep on going, but that has to be the first portion of it. So today we're going to talk about the second and third principle. So we'll start with the second one. Next slide. All right. Check your motivation. So there's a lot of different meanings behind this, and I'm gonna kind of go over them one by one. But the first is, remember why you started. You know, it's when you get into the thick of things and you're doing stuff and you're doing things for God, no matter what it is, you know, there's gonna be those ups and downs, those roller coasters. There's gonna be some days where you feel like you're on top of the world and you got it. And there's gonna be other days where you feel like, I don't have this, and I need you to come right now because I'm going to do something crazy if you do not, right? And a good example of this, you know, you see this every year, right? Christmas time comes around, holidays, everybody's like, oh yeah, let's have a good time. And then the new year comes and it's like, okay, I gotta get in shape, right? Let's go to the gym. And everybody's motivated January 1st, right? Or maybe January 2nd. January 1st, people still partying, right? January 2nd, like I'm coming to the gym, I'm in there, and they're in there. They're working out hard, you know, for about a good week. And then, you know, motivation fades, and then they're done, right? Pastor's kind of talking about this a little bit when he talks about his series on spiritual discipline. You know, the good thing about motivation, it's great. It'll get you started, right? But motivation wanes, right? So you have to have discipline to continue going after your motivation goes. Any person who works out all the time and who's dedicated to it, ask Dylan, he'll tell you, it takes discipline. You don't always feel like going to work out. You don't always feel like doing the right things, right? Anybody who's in here is married knows that for a fact as well. You don't always feel like loving your spouse, right? Sometimes you look at them and you're like, ooh, thank you, Jesus, right? But that's the reality of it, right? And so motivation comes and motivation goes. But if you can go back to the beginning and look at why you started, and then you can say, okay, God, I've started here. Here's what I brought it, where you brought me from. Where do I go forward? And that applies for everything, right? Whether that's inside the church or outside the church. We have to remember why we started. And sometimes you have those motivations. I had that on my phone for a little while, though. My lock screen said, remember why you started. Because it's easy to forget, right? And, I mean, we could look at countless examples in the scripture of people forgetting. I love the example of, you know, the children of Israel when they're led out of Egypt. I mean, this is over a span. We're talking about when we're reading the scriptures, over a span of 40 years. Like, oh my God, how do these people forget so quick? It's like, well, it's been some years, right, where they go through all this process. And some of us, for all it takes is a couple of months, and we forgot. All right, a couple of weeks sometimes, right? All right, God, where you been in the last week, right? And then we kind of get that why we started. And then also, the second part of that is why are you continuing? Sometimes you need to change course, right? What you did, what got you started, may not get you to the finish line. And so you have to course correct. Hey, God, this is why I started. I started because this ministry, because I believe that this is a need that you put on my heart and a desire to go. And why am I continuing? Because the job's not finished, right? Now I have people working for me as well, so I'm not just doing it on my own. You brought people to come alongside of me to get this job done, this mission accomplished. So that may be why you continue going, right? So why you start, why you continuing, those are two different things. But also, I love this third point, are you doing it for God's glory or for your own? And when we start off doing things, sometimes, again, I talked about this last week, we start off, we focus on God, we're doing it for his glory, and I got this, right? This is what I'm doing. But as it continues going, you get a little bit more, you know, adulation. People are saying, hey, you're doing a great job. Hey, that was, man, your ministry, you're the best one. I've seen a lot of come and go, but you're the best one I've seen. And then, you know, you start feeling good about yourself. God, you know, you're doing this for me. You know, I appreciate it. And then all of a sudden it becomes less and less thank you, God, and more about, I am doing a good job, aren't I? Let's figure out how I could do better. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not knocking doing a good job. The reason why God gives us these jobs and these ministries is because he knows that we are equipped to do it. He's the one who gave us the ability to do it in the first place. If we have this ministry, we have this passion, this drive, God put it there. He put it on your heart to do it, and he gave you the ability to do it. And some of those abilities are natural. I related this last week to the talent of singing, right? You don't have to be in church to be able to sing. There's a lot of people who are outside of the church singing. God gave them that natural ability. We can see that very clearly when it comes to talents like that. But there's also other talents, like leading a ministry. And those are talents that God gave you. Those are abilities to see and figure things out. Like, there's some people who have an ability to start businesses and keep businesses going, and they're really good at it, right? They have that just mindset for how to conduct, to start, and just operate a business. God has given them that. That is a talent that sometimes we take for granted that God has given people. And again, that is a great thing, but we got to also make sure, like I said, are we doing it for God's glory? This doesn't mean that, for example, if you start a bakery, that every single one of your, you know, your desserts have to be named after God. This is the Ezekiel, you know, cupcake right here. That's not what we're talking about here. And I think sometimes we kind of feel like, oh, if we're doing it for God's glory, everything has to be about God. That's not necessarily the truth, right? And believe me, I thought this way for a long time. I felt like, you know, oh, if we're doing it for God's glory, God has to be every single thing. You know, the cupcake has to be named Zachariah, you know, for it to be, you know, something that we're incorporating God with. But that's not the case. It just means you have to do it for the best of your ability for God's glory, right? And God opens doors for us when we're in those positions of leadership to talk to people. If you're not, I had a, when I was in Maryland, our bishop and his wife, she used to get up there and he would teach us about scripture and really good and depth in it because he has his PhD. And she would get up and talk about the practical side of it, right? You know, and she's like, be normal. And I used to love her saying that because I thought it was so poignant. Sometimes, you know, we get to this point where we feel like, oh, we read the Bible so much and we feel like we're floating and we can't talk to people, right? You mere mortals down here don't understand what's happening. And what she was like is, that's going to turn people off faster than it's going to bring people to you. And she's like, be normal. You don't have to speak in tongues when you're shopping at the grocery store. Now, if you can, if you want to, if the Spirit moves you and you want to do that, that's great, right? But you're going to repel more people than you bring around, right? So if you're the type of person where you're just, you know, if you're working with your hands, or say you're a mechanic, right, and you're working in your shop and you're doing things, God is going to set up opportunities for people to come and just talk to you. And that's when you have your opportunity to kind of speak and say, hey, you ever thought about this? And next thing you know, you're telling them principles that they don't even understand is from God's word. And they're like, oh, man, why does that resonate with me so much? Well, what I didn't tell you is that was from the Bible, right? And those principles that you can share with people. And that is how our ministry is. The reason why I'm bringing it down to that lowest level is because some of us may not have an established ministry. Like, you know, we don't have something where I'm in charge of this in this church, right? Or, you know, for example, you guys have your Unchained Warriors. You have your ministry that you guys do. Some people don't have that, right? But you have a ministry in your own right. When you go out and you leave and you walk out of these doors, you have a ministry, and that ministry is you. Whatever God puts on your heart for that person in that day. And God is going to bring people around, and you're going to know. They're going to just start talking to you. You're like, wow, this is weird. You know, especially for me. First, let me tell you something. I'm the type of person where I'm always surprised when people just come and start talking to me because I don't give off that look of, I just want to just talk to you, right? I don't. That's not my natural face disposition. It's like, hey, come talk to me. It's just not, right? You know, whatever they call it, you know, the RBF, right? That's what I have, right? I have that resting face, right? People just don't come to me and say, hey, let's just talk. As a matter of fact, what the funniest part I remember is somebody told me, this is when I was in the military a long time ago, and somebody, after they got to know me, was like, you know what, Sergeant Fair? You're really a cool guy. When I first met you, I just thought you were mean. Like, you just did not look like you were approachable at all. I'm like, yeah. I was like, honestly, I actually like that about myself. It keeps me away from a whole bunch of stuff because people don't approach me. Like, you know. So sometimes, you know, it keeps me out of the fray because people just don't, unless they really need something, they're not coming to me, right? So, I laugh a little bit about that because God gave me this face. I can't help that. I'm sorry. You know. But I am very approachable, and when people come talk to me, I'm going to listen, I'm going to talk to you, but I think that's one of those things that, you know, you kind of see And God will bring those people in my path. So when somebody just starts talking to me, I know that was God. Because that's not a normal thing for people to just roll up and start talking to me. Most time, people see me and they're like, okay, hi. And they just keep walking, right? And that's just generally how it goes. And I'm fine with that. And be honest with yourself. I like this point because we can deceive ourselves. Matter of fact, we're the best at deceiving ourselves when it comes to what our motivation is. And I constantly put myself in front of the mirror of God's word and say, God, am I doing this for me or am I doing this for you? And sometimes, I could be honest, hey, I'm doing it for me because it feels good. But I got to make sure the focus is still on God. It's not a bad thing. God, I want to be clear about this because it's not a bad thing to enjoy the ministry that God gives you. Right? It's not a bad thing to enjoy doing what you're called to do. As a matter of fact, that should be the goal, right? That should be the goal, to enjoy what you're doing. But also check your motivation and understand that, you know, hey, I'm doing it, I'm enjoying it, but God, it has to be for you. It has to be about you. And also, when you're doing it for God's glory, you're not seeking your own. I like this last bullet when it talks about the Pharisees. And Jesus told his disciples, you know, don't be like them where they go out and they pray all loud and walk in the streets for everybody to hear because they've gotten their reward. Their reward, the thing they were seeking glory. They were seeking the adulation of people to say, hey, this man is spiritual, right? He is so holy. And once you have that, then that's great, but you have your reward. And God says, I have something better for you if you give me the glory, right? The Bible says, if you lift me up, I will draw all men unto me. Not to you, unto me. And when men are drawn to God, that's the goal. That is the goal. So I love that. Next slide. This, I think, is the most important, and I want to spend a little bit of time on this. Walking in integrity. Integrity is tough, to be honest, because integrity has something to do with what other people cannot see. One of the core values for the Air Force, like I said, I grew up in the Air Force, and one of our core values is integrity first. Now, it sounds good on paper, but not everybody walks by that, right? Integrity should be a hallmark of the Christian walk as well, but not everybody walks in integrity. This is why we see all the things that are going around in the church. But we have to keep our heart clear. And the way we do that is we kind of watch what we put in sometimes, right? The eyes are the mirror to the soul, right? Or they're gateways to the soul, as they say. So we have to make sure, first and foremost, we're watching what we put in our hearts. Doesn't mean you can't go watch, any movie that you like, for example. But understand that you have to balance what you're putting in versus what comes out. And Jesus made it very clear, because when the disciples were asking about, you know, eating certain types of food, and he's like, it's not what goes in the man that defiles him, it's what comes out. But here's the thing, the more you put in, garbage out, right? You can't sit there and fool yourself and put a whole bunch of negativity inside and not expect negativity to come out. It just doesn't work that way. It doesn't. Like, you know, what man can bring fire into himself and not be burned? That's scripture, same thing. So you have to make sure you're aligning yourself and putting more of the word of God in. Why? Because it keeps your heart clear, keeps your heart pure. Understand that you can be led away by your own sinful desires. I think we kind of get to the point where we feel like, oh, you know, I've been walking this Christian walk long enough, I can't be tempted. And that is a lie from the enemy, and he wants you to believe that, right? Because he wants you caught off guard. The enemy doesn't do anything new. Everything he does is pretty much, I mean, it's lined out in the scripture what he wants to do for you, right? And it's pretty simple. He brings the same kind of temptations to it: the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. It's the same thing, the same playbook. He mixes up how he does it, but it's the same playbook. And if you're going to be a leader, you have to understand, first and foremost, it's like the art of war, right? Know your enemy, right? And the way you know the enemy is know yourself first and foremost. Look at yourself. See what am I tempted by? Be honest with yourself. This is where integrity comes into play. What are my weaknesses? If somebody was to shine a light on me, what is something that would be easily for me to be led astray? Or maybe not easily, but it's something that, you know, is tempting, right? I like money, right? Oh. Somebody comes and say, I'm going to give you $1 million. I might be tempted to do this, right? Be honest with yourself, whatever it is. Because once you understand that, then you can start giving that to God. The reason why I say give it to God, because another trick of the enemy is telling you you can fight it on your own. And sometimes those battles, you need other people with you. You need brothers and sisters that you can lock arms with and say, hey, here's where I struggle. I need some accountability in this area. I love this because if you a few years ago, a story came out. This was a while ago now. I think this is when he was campaigning with Donald Trump for vice president. But Mike Pence, this article came out about him, and one of the things it said was he doesn't take meetings, closed-door meetings with women. But, you know, he wouldn't do that. He would have the door open or have somebody in there with him. And people were upset. Oh, my God, I can't believe he would do this. This is just not right. He would have closed-door meetings with men, and this is how they get all, you know, promoted, and women can never get ahead, and this is and that. And I thought it was interesting because, again, what the Bible says is wise, people are going to think it's foolish. And for him, he was like, the Bible says very clearly, avoid the appearance of evil. Not just evil, but the appearance of evil. And for him, he wanted to make sure everything was 100% above board. Hey, this door is going to be open, or there's going to be somebody else in this meeting with us just to make sure that nothing happens. He was concerned about him necessarily, right? But he also knows he's a man, right? And a man in power at that. And at the same time, you see this stuff that comes out now. I mean, 2020 started the whole Me Too revolution, right? Where people were actually sexually assaulted behind closed doors by powerful people. And a lot of stuff was swept under the rug and nobody said anything. He wanted to make sure before all that got popular, right, that there was nothing that could be said about him, right? Nobody's going to come back 20 years later and say, hey, Mike Pence did this to me. No, I didn't. So-and-so was in that meeting. We can ask him, right? And that's what he did for his own integrity. So sometimes that might have to be something you do. I'm not saying that, you know, that's what you do for your life, but understand that we have to set up guardrails for our life, and that helps us walk in integrity. Understand yourself, understand your own sinful desires, and look at the scripture to help you. Also, let your yes be yes and your no be no. I like this point because a lot of times we get into one of my best friends, I love why he calls it Hollywood talk. It's when somebody comes to you and you're like, oh yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I got you. And then they actually never follow through, right? And we see that a lot, where a lot of people say, yes, I will do this, and then they don't follow through. Or they say, no, I won't, and they end up doing it. Part of integrity and walking in integrity is letting your yes be yes and your no be no. If I say yes, you can take it to the bank that I'm going to do it. If I say no, you can take it to the bank that I will not be doing it. That is also part of what we have to do. Again, when it comes to integrity, you see the Christian church, we're failing a lot about this. And it's not just the Christian church, but I highlight the Christian church because we're part of the Christian body. You see the stuff that's happening, right? I mean, this is very clear. And it's not just the Catholic church. I want to be very clear. This is everybody. We're all dealing with this, right? And we see this, and it's because we're not being honest with ourselves. We got these leaders that are in positions, and they're fooling themselves into thinking they can handle the things that are they're presented in front of them. They have weaknesses, but they don't want to let anybody know. Again, a trick from the enemy, keep it a secret. Don't tell anybody what's going on. They'll look at you different. Yes, they will. They will look at you different. They'll know, hey, this person is human, and they need help. Again, I'm not saying go tell everybody, and I deal with these struggles, because not everybody's going to be able that's going to handle it. But have your inner circle of people that you can trust that are going to be there to lean on you. And sometimes it may be you need to take a step back. Right, you need to take a step back from this ministry because you cannot do this until you get this under control, until God deals with you in this area. So we don't get these scandals that come out, right? I just read something a couple weeks ago about another church, and I love the way they handled it. Again, there was critiques all over the internet about it, but they came out that this pastor was sexually assaulting some kids. The church immediately fired him and put it out there for everybody to know, and referred the information to the police, all that they knew. And I was like, that's the way you handle it. That's accountability right there, right? Unfortunately, it had to get to that point, but they handled it the right way after the fact, right? But as leaders, we have to make sure we're checking ourselves so it doesn't get to that point. Let's be honest. I mean, let's be real. We all deal with lust, the eyes, flesh, the pride of life. We all deal with this kind of stuff. So if we're in a situation where we know, hey, this may be a potential trigger for me, Talk to somebody else. Talk to God. Have that accountability so you're not left on an island by yourself and deal with this kind of stuff. Model the behavior that you espouse. It's very important, right? If you're going to tell somebody, I'm in the military. We used to hate this as, you know, young airmen when we first get started. You know, you're doing PT, right? You're out there running and stuff like that, and your commander and your first sergeant, they're all telling you, get out there and go run. And then you look around, and they're nowhere to be found. You're like, man, how are you telling us to get out here and run? You're not even out here running, right? And that's what we would see. Now, as you get older, you understand that there's a different standard for that, right? But what it comes down to is if you're going to be willing to tell somebody to do something, you got to be willing to do it too. We actually are blessed in this church. We have a pastor who is willing to do all the stuff no matter what, right? I've come in here sometimes, and I've seen this man sweeping floors, right? The pastor of the church sweeping floors. Now, first and foremost, he shouldn't be doing that, but I'm glad he's willing to, right? We, as the body, should be willing to do that and take that off his plate so he doesn't have to do it, right? That's our job. But I love that we have a pastor who is willing to do the stuff that needs to get done no matter what, right? He doesn't sit there and say, oh, I'm just too important for this. You know, I'm too big for this. I've done my job. I've done my time. No, he's like, I'm going to do it anyway because it needs to get done, right? And that's the kind of leaders we need in the Christian body that are willing to get it done. Now, we're supposed to train up leaders to get this stuff done under us. That is the job. Don't get it twisted. But at the same time, something happens and it needs to get done. Are we just going to sit there and, oh, well, floor needs to be swept. I guess we'll wait till somebody comes and I'll tell them to do it. No, he just gets there and do it, right? That is the type of leaders, the type of hand-on work we need to have. Jesus espoused this when he washed the disciples' feet. He's like, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. I am Lord, yet I will still get down and wash your feet, right? And that is the kind of behavior that as leaders we have to be willing and able to do at all times. There's a story behind this, and I love this story. And if you've listened to our podcast, then you've heard this story before. But there was a single mom, and she was with her son. And the son just loves to eat all kinds of candy. Candy 24/7, 365, right? He doesn't want to stop. And doesn't matter what she does, she tries to keep it away from him. He still finds a way he gets all this candy. She's telling him, hey, this is bad for your health. You shouldn't do it. So she's, you know, at her wit's end trying to figure out how to get this guy to start eating healthy. And she knows that he's a big Power Rangers fan, right? Specifically the Red Ranger. And so there's a Comic-Con coming to town, which is, you know, this convention for comic book characters and a whole bunch of different characters like that. And so the Red Ranger is going to be there signing autographs. So she figured, you know what, I'll buy tickets to go to this Comic-Con, and then I'll talk to the Red Ranger and get him to tell stop eating so much candy. That'd be awesome because he'll listen to the Red Ranger. He won't listen to me, but he'll listen to the Red Ranger. So she, you know, paid for these tickets that were super expensive, went to the convention, stood in line for like 2.5 hours, finally got to the front. He was like, yes. So he's, kid's super excited, goes up there to get something signed. She's like, pulls him to the side, hey, can I talk to you real quick? And my son, he's like, he idolizes you, right? He looks up to you a lot. And you'll be doing me a big favor if you tell him to stop eating so much candy and eat healthier because he's just not doing well. And so the Red Ranger looked at the lady and was like, I'm sorry, miss, I can't do that. And she was disappointed, like, I did all this for, you know, for this. And she like, and he saw the disappointment on her face, like, here's what I'll do. I'll talk to him in a couple of weeks. I'll be back in 2 weeks to do another one of these conventions. If you bring him back then, I just got this long line of people behind you. I can't do it right now. So she's like, okay. So she left disappointed, obviously, but she did. She bought tickets 2 weeks later, brought her son up there, stood in that long line again, got up to the front. And as soon as he got to the front, the man recognized the lady and the son. So he called the little boy up there and said, hey, let me talk to you real quick. And he said, hey, your mom tells me you've been eating way too much candy, and you need to stop eating so much candy, start eating healthier. The little kid was like, yes, sir, yes, sir. And he's like, promise me right now you're going to eat healthier and not so much candy and listen to your mom. He's like, I promise you I will. So mom was super happy. She's like, yes, finally. But then she was like, that's so weird. And she went up to the Red Rangers like, hey, how come you made me come back 2 whole weeks later and you just didn't do this the first time? You know, you could have just said the same thing the first time. And the Red Ranger looked at her and said, ma'am, 2 weeks ago, I was eating too much candy. So again, the Red Ranger had enough integrity to know that I can't tell somebody else to do something that I'm not doing myself. This is where we have to be as leaders. And I'm talking about leadership level all the way down to parent, child, right? If you have children, you cannot expect your children to do stuff that you do not do, right? If you can't handle your emotions and you're screaming and yelling and throwing stuff, and then you can't turn around and get mad at your kids for screaming and yelling and throwing stuff, it's not real. You can't expect a child to handle their emotions better than you handle them as an adult. And it's tough. That's a tough thing, because when you look at your kids, you see they amplify everything that you do. Right? My dad told me this a long time ago. Everything you do, your kids will perfect. So if you do something, they're going to do it a lot better than you ever did it. Right? So if you are a liar, your kids are going to be expert liars. Right? That's just the way it happens. It just gets better and better. Like, they see what you did and they perfect it. That is the way things happen. And that is just a natural progression. So as parents, as leaders in our home, it is especially important that we walk in integrity. It doesn't mean they're always going. I mean, you can still live your life holy and do everything right, and your kids don't go off and do something crazy. It's the way life is, right? They're going to experiment and do that kind of stuff. But at least they have that foundation to go back on, right? You can't expect your kids, again, to read God's word if they never see you reading God's word. They never see you praying. What is prayer to them? It's just something we do on Sundays. You know, we go and we praise God on Sundays, and then, you know, we come back Monday through Saturday. You're doing whatever you want to do, Mom, Dad. I don't see a lifestyle change in your life, so why should my life change? However, if they do see that lifestyle in you and that dedication, I'm not talking about perfection here. There's no such thing as perfection except for God. But they see you living and striving for God on a daily basis. That is something they're going to fall back on when they have hard times. The Bible says, train up a child the way they should go. When they are old, they will not depart from it. It doesn't mean that you have to do everything right. When you're training, as a matter of fact, if you ever train for anything, there's a lot of times you fail, right? But you get back up, you keep going. That's part of the training. And as a matter of fact, if you're weight training, for example, whenever you're lifting weights, what you're actually doing is tearing the muscles so they can rebuild stronger. That's exactly what you're doing when it comes to training and discipline in your life and walking in integrity. You're tearing out the weakness so they come back stronger. And it's important that we model that behavior for our children. For if we're at work, they should see us doing the things that trying to do right now. Again, we're going to mess up. I want to be very clear. I'm not talking about perfection here, because we can't be perfect. But our lifestyle should be that, as we're honoring God and we're subject to God. We have to live the life that we're espousing to others, right? We have to live like we say we're living, right? We put on the best version of ourselves. Social media is really good at this, about putting on the best version of ourselves, right? We're going to take pictures and snap pictures and share of the happy times, right? Nowadays people are putting their arguments on the internet. But before, it used to be just the happy times. Now it's a little different. But we put out the image where what we want to share for everyone. Let it be the image that's true. Let it be the image that when somebody comes to me, how they see me out in public, how they see me treat my wife out in public, it should be how I treat my wife when we're not in public. How I treat my kids when we're in public should be how I treat my kids when we're not in public. How I live my life in front of other people should be how I live my life when the lights are turned off and nobody's there to see. And that's where it talks about integrity. It's tough. It is not easy. I'm not going to sit here and say I have it all figured out either. But when we're struggling in those areas where we can, we have to know who the source is, and the source is God. If we're going to be leaders in the Christian church, we have to check our motivation, make sure it's the right motivation, continue going on, and we have to walk in integrity. That's all I got for today.